The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And a very pleasant day after. How are you? Welcome to the program, and I think we're going to have a good time today. We appreciate you being here on the Tuesday after the Monday that the college football season has come to an end. And for people waking up across the country today, they got a familiar sight. If they picked up their sports page or in Tuscaloosa, they picked up the Tuscaloosa News. There it is. Front page. Tidal wave. We've seen that one before. Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner last week, the star of the game last night. So everybody out there supporting Devontae in his moment of glory. LeBron, Mahomes, and more. He prays on Devontae Smith. Thanks, LeBron. I know you were pulling for Ohio State, but nothing like being objective. LeBron shouting out. College football championship game isn't complete without a LeBron James tweet, is it? Mahomes, he at least played college football. LeBron would have been good, though. He would have been a good Ohio State player, Devontae Adams. Anyway, meanwhile, Mac Jones calling it the best team ever. And what he was talking about was the schedule. Nobody's ever gone through an entire SEC schedule there were no non-conference games, of course, until the end. It was a tough schedule. Alabama, of course, beat what turned out to be the number four team in the country. We'll show you that in a minute. They beat another top 10 team in Georgia and Florida, which finished right outside that top 10, but they were in the top 10 at the time. Najee Harris said, it may have looked easy, but it wasn't.
Najee, Ohio State has a really good front. How are you able to expose those holes so effortlessly?
Effortlessly?
You didn't see what they were doing? It was blowing my ass up. What are you talking about? It wasn't effortlessly. I'll tell you what. Them dude, they did their thing, bro, to be honest with you. It was just, you know, what they did is every time we did a play action, they just shot the gaps. Shot the gaps. The linebackers, and we got a couple of them to play a lot of the fakes. That's why we were able to throw so much bubbles and the slants and all that. But, bro, them, they was blowing my ass up. You tripping? It was not easy. I am hurting.
Well, yeah, I'm hurting watching you hurt. Nick Saban, was this his ultimate team, maybe his favorite team? The debate is raging all over today on how great this team was. Nick Saban talking about the resiliency of his football team.
What did your team have to endure and overcome to stand here as champs?
Well, I think perseverance probably is the one word that describes this team the best in terms of what they've had to overcome all season long to go undefeated and win a championship. I'm really so proud of these guys. You know, this is a team that was always together. Everybody bought into all the principles and values of the organization and the program, and they just did a great job. They played together. They supported each other. This is a great team.
The AP poll is out. You can debate whether the meaning of it is significant. If you're A&M, it's significant. You're the number four team in the country. Let's take a look as the final AP poll hits the wire today. Texas A&M highest ranking since 1939. It's pretty much what you would expect. Ohio State, Clemson, A&M, Notre Dame falls out of the top four. Oklahoma, Georgia, Cincinnati, Iowa State, Northwestern, Florida as the number 11 position. Meanwhile, the NCAA, as expected, delayed the vote to change college athlete compensation rules, the NIL. They'll keep kicking this can down the road until there's no more road to kick. Meanwhile, in Lexington, big game tonight for the Cats. John Calipari backing his team and the decision to kneel before the most recent game. There has been some backlash in the Kentucky area. So let's talk about what we will be doing this afternoon, and we will be doing a lot. We certainly want to take your phone calls, but the guests will start piling in here very quickly. Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated, Joe Tess, Deron Payne, played in the last Alabama National Championship win. We have a lot more to do as well, including the former commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. Who better to talk to about history than a man who is in his 90s, McElroy. He won Alabama's first national championship under Saban, Joe Goodman Jr. Let's also get you your phone calls at 855-242-7285 and get some reaction. And we start with John, who is in Louisville. Hey, John. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. And first thing I want to do is thank you for a great season. I thought, given all the issues that were going on, the civility and the football acumen of you and the fan base was just phenomenal.
Thank you, John.
And then let's get to the game. First of all, I'm looking forward to Buckeye Earl calling if he's not on suicide watch. But the game was just awesome, and I don't want to hear excuses from Ohio State because Alabama's missing players, obviously. And, the Buckeyes rotate their defensive line. Master T was the starter for most of the season. I thought, although Fields wasn't really throwing the ball well, I thought he looked very healthy. So that just tells me how awesome Alabama was. And as I said yesterday, whoever could establish the running game would win the game because, quite simply, Ohio State didn't, and I didn't take out the first-team running back for the game, but it had an effect. And thus they put the pressure on Fields, and he was only completing, I think, like 51%. And then you had on the other side, they did establish the running game, and then they put on the aerial circus later in the game. I thought the big turning point in the whole game was just before the half, when it just seemed like the air came out of Ohio State's sails. They didn't even try and throw the ball in the last minute and a half of the first half. But just a great game, and you've had a great season yourself.
Thank you so much, John. That means a great deal to all of us here on the program. Lee is up next in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Lee. Lee, you there? Maybe not. Try Chris next. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am good, Paul. Whoa, Todd. Woo, what a game. What a season.
It was.
Thank you, Greg Sankey, and all of the other teams that competed, honestly. It's really good. I got to say, really, I just got two axes to grind and just some reality just spit. I guess you let me spit reality first. Reality says, LSU fans, I know you want to interject constantly about saying you had the best team in the college football history. Here's the reality check. You were irrelevant before then, and you're irrelevant still now. Deal with it. Tuck on a limb and deal with it. And anyone who's saying that they're tired of seeing the same teams in the same playoffs, they just rigged and it's boring, cut it out. Blame it on the committee, and just blame it on the fact that we're just that elite. We're all tired.
Thanks for the call. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. I apologize. Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul, thanks. I think Alabama's national championship team, is the best team in the 151 years of college football history. I think they're better than LSU was last year. They played.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with you on that.
They played an all-conference season. They demolished Florida, they demolished Notre Dame, and they demolished Ohio State. The second half, they just ran away with it. And a lot of that had to do with the depth. But I'm reminded, Lord, you can take me now. I have seen it all.
Well, don't go yet. Andy from Ohio, who predicted an Ohio State victory yesterday, matter of factly. Andy, what's up?
all you know that I'll come out from under my rock from time to time, but I don't hide under my rock when it's time to pay the piper. And I just want to put out there to all of the Ohio State fans who may be thinking about calling in and making excuses, there's a certain point in history they need to pay attention to. 11 years ago, the Alabama Crimson Tide played the Texas Longhorns, which used to be a football school and used to have a good football team. In the first drive of the game, Colt McCoy got hurt, and Texas lost, and the Texas faithful polluted the internet and this show for the entire offseason, calling up saying, "But Paul, if Colt McCoy hadn't gotten hurt," and their reward for that, the football gods punished them by plunging them into obscurity and misery for the past 11 years. So any Ohio State fan who wants to call in and say Trey Sermon got hurt, or we didn't know we were going to lose the entire middle of our defensive line due to COVID, or Justin Fields wasn't up to snuff, he was still injured, everybody can just shut up, because nobody in our secondary was stopping that passing attack. It was amazing and amazingly depressing from up here in Northwest Ohio to watch, but regardless of who was healthy, the better team absolutely won. Just own it, move on. Both these teams have a bright future, and they're going to meet in similar circumstance again in the future. I am done with my crow, and no, I am not going to listen to Legends call later. He can kiss my ring. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Andy. Now, okay, we'll take a break. I think you've got a dose of what we're serving up here today. We hope you stick around. We have a long, long, long way to go. We're not going anywhere for the next 4 hours. We hope you'll be with us every step of the way.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're going to win tonight, Paul. Ohio State going to win tonight. Buckeye Nation tonight, Paul. We're going to kick butt tonight. Bama going down. We're going to knock them out early.
Buckeye, give us a prediction. What's the score?
It's going to be something like 38-31. Buckeyes.
Let's have a good ball game tonight. Hope it goes all the way to the end. Let's get it on. And I'm thinking state by 8 tonight, Paul.
Nobody's giving the Buckeyes a chance.
Never.
This is exactly where I like to be. So your last caller who's like, if Najee Harris is going to be able to run all over the Buckeyes, he's not.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, that was yesterday afternoon right here on the program. Some callers who were Buckeye fans, and we've already heard from one of them. It might be time to hear from an Alabama fan. What about Chris in Gulf Shores?
Well, it's deja vu all over again, buddy.
It just seems like we have traveled this road.
we've done this before, but you know what? It never gets tiresome, nor does it ever get old. I am going to say one thing that probably a lot of my fellow Bama fans will disagree with me on, but I still have to hold to the fact that, okay, this now in Chris from Gulf Shores' book puts Saban even with Bear as the greatest coach. I'm sorry. I can't move him ahead of him yet. Yeah, he has one more natty, but he has the same amount of natties at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, well, Chris, let me interrupt this Bama homer and give you some reality here. When you talk about the greatest of all time, we're not really this is not a contest who the best Alabama coach is. This is more encompassing than that. And I know because I have lived in Alabama that sometimes Alabama fans just don't see anything other than Bama.
Yeah, well, and there's something wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, you got to be all in, right?
Well, of course you do, but your logic is faulty, and I would give you a pass, you know, if I knew you were into your 15th Bud Light, but I know better than that. It's 2:21 in South Alabama. You're probably still on your first six pack.
It's Crown Royal Special Reserve. I'll have you know.
Well, I knew you when you were a pauper.
Yeah, really. When it was the Natty Lodge. Absolutely right. But Paul, don't forget now, you once covered the man in the houndstooth hat.
I am telling anyone and every. But you also realize Bear had a couple of titles that included lost bowl games.
True, and Nick. The same
no,
story.
No, Nick, Nick Saban, no, Chris, listen, I feel like I'm talking to Shane from Centerpoint back in like 1999. Chris, Nick Saban has, of his seven national championships, none include a lost bowl game, okay?
Okay. Okay, but he has lost a couple of bowl
Chris,
games.
Chris, I don't. I mean, you're not on the Bama. This is not the Bama line here. Okay, this is a real. This is a little different.
Oh, this isn't the Eli Gold hotline.
Well, first of all, Eli Gold wouldn't even take a call from you.
Well, you're right about that. Hey, by the way, you know, Eli had our good luck charm Broadway Joe Namath on at halftime last
night. Oh,
did he? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, what was going to go wrong? You got Broadway Joe in South Miami. I mean, come on. So what do you think this next season is going to produce, brother? Another back-to-back?
I don't care, Chris. We are not even – I don't care about anything other than today. How about that?
Oh, well, okay. The 24-hour thing is still in effect, so you can still celebrate. But
Chris, in the current world that we live in, thinking beyond the next hour is wrong.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that was missing last night, I saw where Miss Terry came out there and gave Coach a hug and everything. What was missing, though, Paul, was you down there on the sideline so that Miss Terry could have given you a hug also like she did in the Texas.
She did, yeah. For all those who, you know, have first of all, nobody, the media was not allowed on the sidelines. Second of all.
Right, right.
I kept trying to let everybody know in the lead up to the national title game at the Rose Bowl, hey, you know, I respect Coach Saban, but I don't know him that well. I'm just a journalist. And live on national television, 2 seconds after the game, Terry Saban walks up to me and hugs me, and I'm like, oh, it's over. It was never the same after that.
Well, you know, you'd been out there in the dinghy with Coach and Carly. So
you're right.
That made you one of the family, as the Aubs like to say.
Well, it is great to hear from you, Chris. Thanks so much. Let's go to Graham in New York. Hey, Graham.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. I love Chris from Gulf Shores. That was hilarious. Ohio State is officially a lacrosse school. Paul, I wanted to get your reaction. What is your reaction to the pictures out of Tuscaloosa of the thousands of students who gathered, many of them maskless, on the strip last night?
You know, Graham, when I was young and foolish.
Well, it's never advisable to, you know, break CDC guidelines, but these college kids deserve the chance to celebrate a moment like this. But I think that just shows that we need the vaccine to get out there faster so that we can see pictures like this and not have the reaction of, oh, they shouldn't be doing
that. Well, Graham, all I can say is, had I been a student at the University of Alabama last night, I would have been down there. So I am not, as an adult, about to lecture anyone.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with you, Paul. Finally, I'll keep it moving. I just want to say I'm glad that AL.com's reporter, Pat Fafflici, got the answer to his statement at the beginning of the season that Mac Jones was a, quote, thoroughly mediocre quarterback. I don't think so. War Eagle.
heading to the break. We are going to continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. One of the top sports journalists in the country, Ross Dellinger from SI. He's up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have everyone here on a Tuesday. Ross Dellinger has covered college football from the first game of the year through last night, and we really look forward to catching up with him for his thoughts on, first, Ross, as we say hello to you, just the season. As you walked out of Hard Rock last night, I'm sure you had to reflect a little bit on this incredible journey. What was going through your mind?
Yeah, it was. It's funny you say that. I did exit, and I just a few times kind of looked back at the stadium, just kind of one last image of this crazy 2020 college football season. It's been a long journey. Like you said, I covered the very first FBS versus FBS game when Southern Miss played South Alabama on September 3rd. I was there for that, and then I was there for the last FBS game, the national title game. So it's been a lot in between, a lot of craziness, and I don't know that we'll ever see a season quite like this one.
Ross, how would you describe, you know, the build up to this game, and especially last night? Because on the field, usually before the national championship game, I mean, it is a circus. I mean, you just don't know who you're going to run into down there, from the media, from industry, from celebrity. And last night, none of that was there, was it?
It wasn't. It was not. It was pretty quiet and calm. Not a ton of people on the field. Some officials here and there. But like you said, usually, especially for a championship game featuring two of the big blue blood programs in college football, and it's set in Miami of all places, you would expect there would have been a lot of celebrity on those sidelines, but hardly any of that. I even saw, you know, a bunch of former Alabama players who would normally go on the sideline, right, were in a suite. Saw a picture of Lane Kiffin tweeted out of that. So it was just weird, you know, it was different, but it's been weird all year, you know. That was my 11th game traveling to this year, Paul, and then they've all been different, I guess, but in the same way, they've been very similar, you know, very small crowd, if any at all, just quiet, more quiet and calm, and less traffic, and we had all that last night, you know, we breezed right into the stadium to park, you know, and that never happens at a championship game.
You talked to a number of officials down there, including the SEC commissioner, about the season and the future. I'm really interested, and I know the audience is as well, what your takeaway was.
Yeah, I met with Greg Sankey Monday morning before the championship game, and it was an hour discussion or so about wrapping up the season a little bit, you know, and just how crazy it was, and all the decisions that he made, you know, this year. And my colleague Pat Forty had done the same thing the day before with Kevin Warren of the Big Ten, who also was here, obviously. And so we kind of had two Q&As there to tell each side of the story, because obviously those two men made, you know, they had a different course of action during this year. So it was interesting to hear some of Greg Sankey's comments, which some of them were pretty pointed. You know, for a guy who's pretty guarded, Greg got a little spicy there with some comments. And I think part of it was, you know, he felt frustrated and alone for so long during this process, when a lot of conferences and were bailing on a season, and he tried to keep plugging forward in an attempt to at least have a season. And so I think he felt so alone, and to get to the finish line like we did, especially with one of his teams playing in the championship game, I think he obviously felt a big relief and felt like his conference made the right decision.
Moving ahead, Ross, I know the NCAA convention is underway. This is normally a very newsy week. What happens next? What's the next big move for college athletics and especially college football?
Well, obviously, you know, NIL, name, image, and likeness stuff, and the one-time transfer stuff. We've all know now that it's gotten shelved. It'll get delayed because of the Department of Justice and some other issues that have cropped up. Like Mark Emmert said in his opening statement on the virtual convention, the kind of the state of the NCAA earlier today, is that they still want to do it. They want to have name, image, and likeness. They're committed to doing it. But as he said, some questions have to be answered and have kind of popped up a little bit here. So, you know, we got the Supreme Court. We'll hear the Alston case. So there's a lot going on. Those are two huge issues, obviously, that we'll be following. And then, of course, Paul, you got the whole pandemic. You know, where it's at and what happens in 2021. We all expect, and Mark Emmert said today, he expects to be back to full form, he said, in 2021. That's the expectation. But, man, we have seen, you know, the viruses and the numbers are probably going to direct that course a little bit. The vaccines have been pretty slow, you know, to get around, getting out. They're a little behind, and that's not good. And then, you know, we all know about what happened last week in Washington, D.C., where I live. And that all of that has an impact on congressional legislation with NIL and all this. It further delays everything.
Ross, final question on that subject. Not only do you live there, but your wife covers the Capitol, if I understand correctly. What was last Wednesday like?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it was pretty wild. We live about two and a half miles or so north of the U.S. Capitol. And she was supposed to be there, actually. At the last minute, she decided not to go. Thankfully, she would have been in the Senate chambers, and that would have certainly been scary for me as a husband watching all this unfold at home. But she thankfully did not go, and she covered it from home and the TV coverage and you know, getting sources inside the Capitol. But it was crazy and it was sad and it made me angry as an American and embarrassed and ashamed and I hope that our country can mend moving forward for the sake of the nation, Paul, but also the sport we cover, college sports. It's, like I said earlier, it delays all of this stuff. You know, we're going to need a federal NIL bill probably. And it just all of this, the virus and the transition of power and the siege on the Capitol, all of this delays things. So hopefully we can get back on track.
Ross, many thanks. Really appreciate your coverage with us all year long. We obviously will keep leaning on you, but get some rest. Really appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. Just absolutely a great reporter on that subject. And we will take a break. We have many more guests to come, including the former commissioner of the Southeastern Conference a little bit later on, Roy Kramer. Hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. And a lot of headlines out there when it comes to great, great teams. We put this tweet out earlier, the Miami team of 01. Man, that team was loaded. Leonard, Bush, so many other players on that 04 SC team. Last year, Burrow, Chase, Allaire, and of course this year. We welcome you back, and guests start piling in here pretty quickly in a moment. Let's get back to your calls at 855-242-7285, and James is up next. Hey, James.
Paul.
Yes.
You think Graham showers in his mask?
I think he does, yes.
You know, Paul, I've been real busy the last week or two, but my understanding is there's talk that there might not be a 2020 football season.
I just heard that. I sure hope they can straighten that out.
I've also heard that maybe there won't be a national championship game Monday night.
I heard that, too.
And here's the third strike for mainstream media. I understand they're trying to convince the American people that Joe Biden.
Javier is up next in San Antonio. Hey, Javier, how are you?
Hey, Paul, this is first-time caller, long-time listener kind of thing. But got two questions, more on the A&M side. And I value your opinion. They're heavily. But what's your thoughts with A&M coming in 21 season and, you know, them coming in ranked fourth? And then the second question I had is, you know, how do you look for UT to come in with their new coach?
Yeah, thanks, Javier. Yeah, I think A&M is in really good position. Certainly a lot of, we don't know exactly who's leaving, but I think they'll be a contender next year. And let's see, the Alabama game is in College Station, so that could be one of the bigger games of the year. Don't know what's happening in Knoxville, to be perfectly honest. We are hoping to get some information on that later today or tomorrow. There is a lot of speculation up there, as there has been for many, many days. Appreciate the call. Lynn is in South Carolina. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, it's your social worker from South Carolina.
Great to hear from
just
you again.
Wanted you. First of all, I want to shout out to Andy from Ohio. I was amazed at his comments because this very morning I was saying to one of my colleagues, I wonder if it would have been better to have waited a week when Ohio State would have been more healthy. Imagine that coming from a Bama fan.
Yeah, you know, I think Ohio State would have been better, but Lynn, is where I come from, when the championship game is on Monday, January 11th, that's when you play the championship game.
Yeah, sure, and I get that part. Another thing, help me understand this far too early AP poll that ranks Clemson number one. What were they drinking? I mean, what were they thinking? How did they come up with
this
that?
Lynn, this has become a tradition. As the championship game ends, the polls come out for next year. I don't really care about them one way or the other. They're a necessary evil. They're a point of reference. And I don't think Clemson, you could put Clemson there, you could put Oklahoma there, you could put Alabama there, Ohio State, Georgia. We are 52 weeks away from the national championship game next year. I can wait. What about you?
Thank goodness. What else? Hey, one quick question. What is up with the OC position at Alabama? Any rumor mills?
Yeah, there is a lot of speculation about Bill O'Brien, who was the coach of the Houston Texans. And prior to that, he had been at Penn State. He's a Bill Belichick protege. So he is one name to keep your eye on. I know he's been in Tuscaloosa a couple of times.
Cool. Because that was one of my concerns last night, is the chemistry that would happen on the sidelines knowing that Sark was leaving. That didn't seem to have the negative effect I anticipated.
No, I agree with you. I think that team was so good, and Sark has done this for so long. You know, he got criticism in 2016, but he had not been the coordinator. He was an analyst on that staff, and he filled in when Lane Kiffin left. Yeah, if you look at Alabama national championships, Nick Saban has won with Jim McElwain. He's won with Nussmeier, Brian Daboll, now Sark. He's had at least three different defensive coordinators, Jeremy Golding, and obviously Kirby. So you know, he has proven he can win with pretty much anyone.
He can. And I hope you stay healthy, please. And I hope we get the basketball season in.
That will be the next question. It's going okay so far, not great. John is up next in Virginia. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. What a great and glorious day, isn't it?
It is. I have to agree with you on that.
Well, I called you yesterday, and I'm going to call back today, let you know my kidneys are doing just fine. I've had a little sleep, but, you know, after listening to Legend last night, he kind of talked me down. But I think what we need to do going forward is just appreciate how special this team really was, because there's a good chance we might not ever see this type of team again in Alabama. With everything that went on during the year, there's a good chance this could be the chemistry of the team was very, very special, and we might not ever see that again.
Yeah, I have to say I was surprised to see it the way we did, because it was not expected, especially at the quarterback position.
No. But I want to give a couple shout-outs if I can. Jeff from Columbus, yeah, you brought the heat, but we still love you. And to Buckeye Earl, I just got to say, bend the knee, bow your head, and roll damn tide. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. He asked me about Tennessee, and I failed to mention this at the beginning of the show, but there are a lot of signs pointing toward Kevin Steele being named as the defensive coordinator at the University of Tennessee. This is very interesting, considering everything seemed to be on pause. Steele joining this staff is interesting for this reason. He's clearly not going to be part of Brian Harsin's staff anymore. He is a Tennessee graduate, and he was also a finalist for the job when Jeremy Pruitt got it. So the fact that that Steele seems to be moving toward this job has set off all kinds of three-alarm fires. More to come. Joe Tessitore, nobody better than him to recap the football season. He's next.